chapter. First Thessalonians 5. Very short text for tonight is verse 19. I think we could all learn our memory verse this evening. Quench not the Spirit. I would like to read from verse 12 through 22. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Just a comment here. I see the Apostle Paul as a real father figure for the church at Thessalonica. Concerned about the relationship of the laity and the ministry. And I see Paul here as speaking in tender tones. And sometimes somebody else can say things that maybe local ministry can't say. And maybe that's why Paul was talking to the Thessalonians like this. And maybe I can say it here where Brother Steve and the others couldn't. And maybe I need Brother Steve to come in and talk to our group so I can be quiet. But I would beg you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and the ones that admonish you, and to esteem them in love, very highly in love. In other words, respect for their work's sake. You know, I'm sure, I wasn't here for their ordinations, but I'm sure there was no campaigning for the job. This responsibility was given to them. And so respect them. Treat them very highly in love for their work's sake. And be at peace among yourselves. Such rich admonition for all of us. In other words, be followers of Christ. Take the everyday situations that you deal with and right away start out to figure out, get solutions to your problems. What would Jesus do? And that will always lead to peace among yourselves. Verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded, the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore, or always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. In everything, God? In everything? You know, I'll just make the comment here. Yes, that's what he says, in everything. And I think there's some things that we don't have to give. He didn't say for everything. But whatever you're in, you have something in that situation that you can thank God for. It might be a situation that you can't thank God for that situation. But always rejoice. And no matter what trial you're in, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then he comes to this little phrase that we want to look at tonight. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. That despise there is from a word that would... When he wrote the epistle to Timothy, he said, let no man despise your youth, or let no man belittle or look down on your youth. And he's telling us here, despise not prophesyings. And I think it's, if you look that up, it would be from the same word in Corinthians 14, where he talks about the different gifts and prophesyings, which is speaking the mind and the will of the Lord under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Don't look down on that. When somebody is speaking under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, listen to it. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't stifle what God is trying to tell us. Verse 21, prove all things. In other words, don't swallow everything that comes along. Listen to God's Spirit. Hold fast to what's good. And actually, implying here the things that aren't good, don't hold on to it. Don't just drink in everything that comes along, and you may get that polluted water. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. I see Paul's heart here for his people and his desire for them. Quench not the Spirit. Quench would mean to cause to lose heat or warmth and become calm. And we're thinking of God's Holy Spirit that He's given. We're thinking of that conscience. We're thinking of the voice that's within us when we... Well, what did Jesus say? He would send His Spirit into the world and the Spirit will convict of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. In other words, God's Spirit will tell you what's wrong. It'll tell you what's right. And it speaks of judgment to come. And when we quench it, it's causing to lose heat and warmth and become calm, to suppress or subdue to the point of extinction. And he's saying here, don't do that to God's Spirit within you. God put His seal on us in Ephesians 1:13 and 14. He talks about that. I'm going to turn to that. It says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest or the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. God put His seal on us, and seals speak of ownership, whose we are. And God is the only one that has the right to seal. So Paul is saying here, don't quench this Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says, grieve not the Spirit. And we grieve the Spirit when we quench the Spirit, when we don't listen. Quenching is a process. And I like to illustrate it as a fence. And God's Spirit works along with your conscience. And I think every adult in here knows what I'm talking about. But when you come to something and you know it's wrong, it's like coming up to a fence and your conscience is telling you this is not right. And maybe your heart is beating extra fast. Your blood pressure is up. And you know it's not right, and you're pushing on the fence, and you want that forbidden, you want that green grass that you think is on the other side of the fence, and you push, and the fence creaks, and it groans, and if you keep pushing, you keep quenching, you keep going against, before long, you're through the fence, and the fence lays there, it's tattered, it's hanging, it's sagging. And you know what happens the next time you come? You eat of that forbidden fruit. You follow the lust of your flesh and the desires of the flesh and the mind. And you come back again. And that time the fence isn't as tight. Yes, the heart's still beating. Your blood pressure goes up. You know it's not right. You break into a sweat. But it was easier to get through the second time. And the fence goes down some more. And that process goes on until finally the fence is on the ground. Those of us that have had cows in our life, we've seen it happen. And after a while, they don't even know the fence is there. And that's what happens in the conscience when you keep going against what you know is right. And after a while, you're across the fence without any thought, without much thought. But the only problem is that what used to get that heart racing and break out the sweat and you knew it was wrong and it bothered you, it doesn't do that anymore. And the temptation then is to go on down farther to find the thrill that you thought you would get over here. And all the while, that's quenching that spirit. And you keep going, and the farther you go and the quieter the spirit gets in your life. I would like to turn back to Judges. I would like to look at a man that quenched the spirit. Turn to Judges chapter 16. Actually, we'll go back to chapter 14. Judges 14. Samson, he went down to Timnath, and he saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Pharisees. And I want to go through it and look and see how Samson quenched the voice of the Spirit. And the first thing I see here in verse 1 is that he looked for company away from God's people. And whenever we start looking for company, when we start finding our fellowship with people that are going away from God, we'll go the direction that they're going. When we find our social needs being met there in the wrong camp, in the wrong company, we'll start quenching that spirit. And all those things that we were taught and from the Bible you can find that are so wrong, they won't seem quite as bad anymore. And we start to ask ourselves, is it really that bad? Is disobedience to the Word as bad as what I thought it was? And that voice is starting to quiet. In verse 3, I should have picked one out in verse 2. He told his father, "Now therefore get her for me to wife." Instead of taking counsel, Samson was telling his father what to do. Verse 3. His father and mother argued a little bit with him. "Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines?" And Samson said unto his father, "Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well." And the German, and I don't know German, but somebody told me this, because I don't know how to read German. But the German Bible says, "Get her for me, for she pleases my eyes." He didn't care about anything else. He was just following the lust of his eyes. He was quenching the voice of the Spirit. And men, don't take a second look. I had to think of, you know, we can't help. We're driving down the road and all at once there's a billboard. You can't help that first look, but you can help that second look. You're driving down the street. You can't even look at people sometimes. I read a book. It was Every Man's Battle by Steve Arterburn. And there's a lot of good things in there. And I can recommend you reading the book if you treat it like you do when you eat watermelons and you spit out the seeds. It's a lot of good in it. But there's some things that if you can spit the seeds out, the book would be a help to most men, I think. But he teaches a principle that I think is very good, and it has been a tremendous help for me. And he says that we need to teach our eyes to bounce. And I'm talking to the men now because this is a man's thing. You see that billboard, or you see that person that's not dressed decent. You can't help that first look, but you can teach your eyes and bounce and go somewhere else and not look back. Oh yeah, it's hard. But if you really want to have a pure mind and if you really want to listen to the Holy Spirit, what do you think God's Spirit would say? Quick, take another look? No way. Don't quench the Spirit. Teach your eyes to bounce. I wish things were like they were years ago. I remember, and I told you, I used to go to public school. And in the early days, and look back in our yearbooks. And all the girls had dresses on. Public schools. I mean, in my lifetime, that's not that long ago. But you know what happened? You can watch, you can look over the years. When I was in school, and the dresses got shorter and shorter. And pretty soon, it was not good at all. And you know what happened in society? And then the dresses got long, but they became very indecent up top. And I beg you, women, make it easy for us men. I don't know why God made us that way, but you know, God said that if a man looks on a woman to lust after her, he's committed adultery in his heart. And when you dress modest and when you make sure you keep yourself covered, it makes it so much easier. It is so refreshing to be able to look at a woman and easily keep a pure mind. And you are respected for it. Just not long ago, when our children was traveling and their daughter along, and there's a man, I don't even know where it was, way out. And anyway, a man came up to her in the gas station and said, "We respect the way you're dressed." And that's pretty much a true statement. And it is a true statement for decent men. And who wants to impress the indecent men? So I beg you, women, be glad you can dress modestly. Be thankful for it. And I would give one word of encouragement. I'd like to give this word to all of us, all of our conservative Mennonite churches. Just be careful of what you wear for warmth over top of your dresses, and let God speak to you. Make sure it doesn't detract from modesty from your cape. Quench not the Spirit. Next point in verse 7. "And he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well." Samson was dabbling with what he should have run from. And men, if you go back and you start dabbling with things that you need to get away from, you're quenching the Spirit. And you know the process. What I described earlier, the elevated heart rate and break out in a sweat. And I'm just telling you, there's only a couple things in the Bible that we're to run from. Most times it says we're to fight the good fight. We're supposed to get in there but it says flee fornication. Run from it. That's what it's saying. Run from it. Get away from it. What if Samson would not have gone back down and talked to the woman? I'm just telling you, men, don't frequent the restaurants and become so acquainted with the waitresses and flirting and dirty magazines and, should I say it, texting. I don't think we have any business texting other women. Don't dabble when we should be running. It'll quench the Spirit. Verse 8. "And after a time he returned to take her." There he was, feeding the old flesh again and going back. Chapter 15, verse 3. "And Samson said concerning them, 'Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure.'" There was a lot we skipped in there about the riddle, and he told them if they answered his riddle, well, he would give them 30 changes of clothes, and if they couldn't, then they had to get him the clothes. And anyway, he felt self-righteous. He had to go get them. He went and killed 30 people to get the clothes, and he came back to take his wife, and and she had been given to another person. Now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. He felt self-righteous and justified himself. And this is the next step in quenching the spirit. It's the next step in rebellion. When you have pushed over that fence and kept going and quenching the spirit, and finally you get to the point, I could just about hear Samson there and say, I don't care. I'll teach them. I'll get even with them. I don't care what I do. And he pushed on. Verse 7, he wanted the last punch and the last jab and the upper hand. There was no fruit of the spirit at all. It says, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you after that I will cease. Samson thought he would cease when he got ready, but it didn't work out that way. And that's the same way in the process of quenching the spirit. When God's speaking to you and you just keep putting it off and you think, well, I'll stop when I want to, or maybe I'll do what God wants me to when I get ready. It doesn't work that way. Verse 11, he was blind to his own faults, and he thought all his problems were somebody else's. 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done unto us? And he said unto them, as they did unto me, so have I done unto them. You could just about hear it in his voice there, that he thought that all of his problems were because of somebody else, but yet he was so blind to his own problems. I think by chapter 16, he didn't hear the Spirit. He fulfilled his lust, the pride of life. He was careless. He was indifferent. He was away from God and going into bondage. We could summarize all this we've said so far in Samson's life as the binding of sin. I think I'm going to just write that word on the board. And all the while, Samson was going after what he wanted, and the things that he wanted. And little did he realize how he was being bound. And isn't that the way Satan does us today? When we think we want what we want and we're going to get it, and we've been told and God's Spirit is speaking to us, and we turn against it, we're being bound. It got to the point that Samson was acting without any common sense at all. And I think that's the way it happens when we keep quenching the Spirit. Over in chapter 16, can you imagine Delilah saying, tell me, where does your great strength come from so that you can be bound and be afflicted? And he would go right back to her. How did he have any sense acting like that? And she would cry again and had men even there waiting. The second time, first time he said, if you have 7 green withs. And second time he said, if they bind me fast with new ropes. And he kept right on going. He just kept walking right on in that trap. And all the time he was being bound tighter and tighter. The third time, if you weave the 7 locks of my head with the web of the loom. And the fourth time, it vexed his soul unto death. And then he told her everything that was in his heart. I think that we could call that the blinding. And literally, blinding. Because right after that is when the Philistines came. His hair was cut off. And what did they do? They captured him and they took out his eyes. after he was bound by Satan. And finally he was bound up to where they could come capture him, and they cut out his eyes. It's the binding and the blinding. And then one other thing happened. They took him down to the meal. And what did they do? And that's what happens when we quench the Spirit, when we go away from God, when we don't listen to God's Spirit. He binds us. He blinds us. And the life after that is hard. It's a grinding life. We don't all go grind like Samson did. But that's what happened to Samson. He quenched the Spirit. I would like to talk a little bit about a man that did not quench the Spirit. We go to Genesis 41, verse 38. Can we find such a man as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And I think I mentioned another night this week how that Joseph could have had such bad attitudes. He could have been so angry at his brothers. He could have been bitter at so many things in his life. He could have blamed others. He could have gotten down there to Egypt and said, well, if this is the way life is, I'm going to just throw it all to the wind. He could have blamed God. Said, God, if you love me, why would have you ever let me come down here? He could have lived for self. Instead, he made right choices. Until finally, Pharaoh said, can we find a man such as this is? A man in whom the Spirit of God is? Joseph made right choices. He walked day by day, listening, I believe, listening to the voice of God's Spirit. And I believe there were times that Joseph had to just choose right. I don't believe he just felt like every morning he just, you know, had this deep feeling inside. I think there were days that he got up and he didn't feel like it at all, but he knew what was right. And he listened to God speak to him. So the challenge for today, which do you want to be like? Do you want to listen to God's Spirit like Joseph, or do you want to go like Samson and quench the Spirit? Don't start the hardening process. Don't even start it. Be sensitive to God's Spirit. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to live? I emphasize again, brothers and sisters, we all need time with God. If we get up in the morning and we don't have time to fellowship with God, if we don't have time to get on our knees and pray, and God, direct my day, and get some food and water for the day, we're going to begin the quenching process. Take time to listen to God. Know the Scriptures. How are we going to know it if we don't read it? How are we going to know it if we don't listen and have intense interest? I'm convinced God doesn't give His Spirit to lazy people with a nonchalant attitude of, well, whatever. Ask God to start the fire in your heart. If you want to be, maybe you want to be more bold for the Lord. Ask God to give you boldness. Thank God more for salvation. Realize who we are. You know, we'll never appreciate our salvation if we think that we were just kind of pretty good people. You know, I was raised in a Mennonite home. My grandfather was the first Beachy preacher ever ordained. What does that do for me? I was born a sinner. And in God's sight, I was doomed for hell. I need the blood of Jesus just like the most vile offender. And until we see the holiness of God, we'll never see the sinfulness of ourself. And when we see the holiness of God and the sinfulness of ourself, then we'll appreciate more our salvation and the love of the Lord. And take time to listen to His still, small voice. You know, the day that we're living just works against that so bad. We get up in the morning and there's so much to do and places to go and things to do and stuff to see. And we hardly have that quiet time. Somebody said that quietness to the soul is like rest to the body. Think about it. If you don't get rest for your body, what happens? I know what happens. Yeah, we get tired, we get sleepy, we can't function right. And I believe it's the same way with quietness. Quietness is to the soul what rest is to the body. And we need that time when we can just sit quiet with God. And somehow, and my heart goes out to you mothers with babies. I've, in the council room, have heard so many women, and with tears in their eyes, it's so hard to have a time for devotion, time for God, because, you know, the babies are crying at night and it's hard to get up. And when you do get up, it's so many responsibilities. I think us men can do it easier than that. We need a quiet time with God. Let God speak to our hearts. Not just waiting for His Spirit to tell us you're doing something wrong, but let Him speak to you and tell you what to do that's right. That's our God and His Spirit, and He'll direct us. Even ask God to direct your contacts. I would like to encourage you to do that. At least it blessed my heart. In the morning, ask God to direct your contacts today, the people you come in contact with. And you better be ready. And hopefully, you're not pushed up to where you don't have any time to do what you really need to be doing. But take time to listen to His still small voice. Make sure your spirituality is genuine. Now, I had to think of Agrippa. And I don't know what's happening in your heart tonight when you're thinking about quenching the Spirit, listening to the Spirit. But my mind went to King Agrippa. You remember Apostle Paul was talking to Agrippa? And Agrippa said, "Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian." And if there's any here tonight that are that way, almost. You've been putting it off. But you know God is calling you. I'll say like Paul, I would that you would not almost, but all the way. Give your heart to God. What if, and I don't believe in just scaring people. But life is so uncertain. Something could happen to any one of us tonight before we get home. Don't keep putting it off. Listen to the voice of the Spirit. I had to think of the thieves on the cross. There were two thieves, one on either side of Jesus. And the one was so close to heaven, but he went to hell. And the other one was so close to hell, and he went to heaven. How about you tonight? Are you listening to God's Spirit? Do you go to bed at night and lay down on your pillow and you're just thankful for salvation through Jesus? And you close your eyes and you know if you never wake up on this earth, your first breath will be over there and you can go to sleep and rest. Or do you go there and toss and turn because you know something's wrong? You're not ready to meet the Lord. I don't want to just make you scared, but I want to tell you the way of the cross is the only way to peace and happiness and fulfillment. No, it's not an easy road. It's a straight and narrow road, and sometimes it gets hard. But I want to tell you it's not near as hard as following Samson's trail. It's not near as hard. Plus, our inheritance is out of this world. We have the hope of glory. So while we're here on earth, let's take the cross and live for the Lord Jesus. And again, I can't help but just emphasize we have a loving Heavenly Father. From way in heaven, it says He's standing there with His hand reaching down. And all He wants to do is to take hold of the hand that reaches up. To take you out of a troubled world, He's here to help you through it. He's here to help you through it. I don't know why anyone would want to keep putting off the call to salvation.
God is so good. We were doomed for eternal hell, and Jesus came so that sinful man can have a way back to fellowship with a holy God. I'd like if we bow our heads, close our eyes. We want to sing "Just As I Am." And if you've been quenching the Spirit, I invite you to come. Make it known. Don't hesitate. Don't worry about what anybody else says. Come to Jesus. Let's prayerfully, heads bowed and eyes closed, sing, "Just."